yearning, our hearts that are yearning. There's a promise, there's a hope that's rising within us, so complete, so
thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you would like. You may be seated if you would like.
Thank you, Lord.
Take this offering that I bring. Humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining love. Live to worship you. Live to worship you. Here I am, worshiping you with all I am, worshiping you. I'm bowing down in spirit and truth with lifted hands, worshiping you.
I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining love. I live to
you forever. I'm gonna
with all I am, worshiping you.
I'm bowing down,
bowing down in spirit and truth,
with lifted hands,
worshiping you.
Worship him. Hallelujah. It's just an expression of my thankfulness and my gratefulness towards my God in Jesus' name. Is anybody thankful here in this place? Can we stand at this time? The ushers are here to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for being in your house and in your presence. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give, Lord. I pray that you would bless every faithful and cheerful giver this morning, the ones given by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God, glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah is to our God. is to our God.
Thank you, Jesus. Every praise. Every praise. Every word of worship. Every song that is sung. Every word that is said. Every hand that is lifted. Every clap. Lord, let it be for praise and glory to you.
Thank you,
Jesus. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to remind you there is no service here tonight. It is New Year's Eve, but there is a progressive dinner. And if you would like to be involved in that progressive dinner, basically it's a dinner that progresses as you go, henceforth progressive dinner. Different appetizer here and then a salad here and the main course. And Brother and Sister Grimm have organized that, put that together. And so if you have any questions about that, like to be involved in it, please see her. And that is happening tonight. We would ask that you would pray for me and my family as we are getting on the road here this afternoon. I'm going to head down south for a week to be with family in Tennessee area. And so we ask that your prayers be with us as we travel and be safe on the roads and that all is well. But I'm so delighted to know that it will be in capable hands. Next Sunday we will not be here, but Elder Brother Kellum will do the Sunday school lesson. Brother Davis will be preaching next Sunday morning. And so we encourage you to come, be a part of that. And then next Sunday night, on the 7th, we will continue our Understanding the End Time Prophecy seminar. And so we encourage you to be a part of this. Lesson number 12. We've got just 3 more lessons to go before we complete it. And then we will begin in the Financial Peace University. If you have yet to sign up for that, there's a sign-up sheet at the back. And we want to help you and your finances this coming year. And so if you, like we've stated before, you can be a part of the seminar and you can watch the videos, but if you really will have that, that's open to anybody and everybody. You don't have to purchase a curriculum in order to come and be a part of it, but if you want to get the most out of it, you and your family, then we would encourage you to purchase the curriculum. Sign-up sheet is at the back. Also, as we begin the new year, if you would like to be involved in leadership, have a position here at the church, whether it be teaching, whether it be singing, playing an instrument, any type of leadership position in this church, we do ask that you go through the discipleship class. There's a sign-up sheet for that. We provide all the materials and the curriculum for that. It's 3 weeks. It'll start on the 14th, and it'll be the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th from 4:30 to 5:30. It will be before our Understanding the End Time and the Financial Peace University. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. All you need to do is sign up and then be here. We'll provide. We just need to know how many are going to be here so we can provide that curriculum for you. And I am happy to announce that based upon your generous giving last week in our Christmas for Christ offering, we raised just over $1,000, $1,012 and give to Christmas for Christ. So thank you so much for your sacrificial giving in that. And we are tallying up the peanut brittle money, but at this point, it seems like we've made over $850 in selling peanut brittle. So thank you for all that helped us, peanut brittle and the brittle corn. So thank you for that. Going quite well. I'm sure that we'll do some more here after the first of the year. So we're so thankful that you have chosen to be here on New Year's Eve. And we hope that you are not disappointed in feeling the power and presence of God here in this place. So good to have the Parrish family and new little one and all that good stuff. Good to have Josh and Christy with us. Thank you for coming, being a servant with us. God bless you, friends of Andrea. I hope we don't embarrass you. Just want to let you know how grateful we are that you're here in service with us this morning. Why don't you stand? It's the last time you'll have to hear me this year. If you have your Bibles and you'd open them to Exodus chapter number 12. Thinking and praying and asking the Lord. Obviously, I know it's the final service for 2017. I want the Lord to direct my attention to something that I don't necessarily think you have to preach a New Year's Eve message, so to speak, but I ask the Lord, can you direct me to something in Scripture that would be something that we could look at on New Year's Eve. We could pattern and parallel and find instruction concerning the upcoming year. I was drawn to the story of the Passover, the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. And I saw something that I'd never seen before. I'd read through it numerous times, obviously, but a verse of Scripture began to stand out to me. And so it's from that verse of Scripture that I would like to speak to you this morning. I'll go ahead and give you my title. I'm one of those guys that usually has a title every time. Title is Ready for What's Next. Ready for What's Next. Exodus chapter number 12, begin reading in verse number 3. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year to you. See the parallel already? Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month shall you take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. I want you to skip down to verse number 11. It's from here I want to focus our attention. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, said, You're to speak unto the children of Israel and tell them this. I'm going to reset the calendar. This is the first month. It's the beginning of the new month. Month of the new year. You're to tell all the households that they're to take a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And then in a very unusual passage, if you will, Moses tells them they have to eat this lamb a certain way. And thus shall you eat it. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Moses, I want you to tell them to do something a little peculiar, a little different. But you tell them this is how they're going to eat this lamb. Tell them gird up their loins. Tell them keep their shoes on their feet. Their staff in their hand and eat it in a hurry. Make sure they're ready for what's next. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for all the hearts and minds that are here, God, ready to receive your word. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, God, to do just that, to receive your word, God, that we would see the parallels in your scripture, God, that we would be ready for what's next, God, whatever awaits us in 2018, Lord, that we would be ready for it, that we would look according to your word, God, and pattern our lives, God, thus, then we would see your work take place in our lives, both individually and collectively, that we would be ready for what's next. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. For all that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. If you clap your hands, you may be seated. Ready for what's next. This was a time of new beginnings for the children of Israel. For over 400 years, generation after generation knew only a life of slavery under the oppressive hands of the Egyptian Empire. Then this man who was formerly of royalty, this man who had spent some time in the desert, after 40 years in the palace, he's 40 years in the desert, and there the Lord begins to speak to him from a burning bush. Many of us know the story, how that Moses responds, "Here am I, Lord." And through that conversation with God in the burning bush, Moses realizes that he is to be used by God to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. We know that Moses and Aaron present themselves before Pharaoh, and they, through the dialogue and through the conversations, they attempt to get Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. There's plagues that then ensue. Many of us have heard the stories, and we've seen the little flannel graphs in Sunday school that depict the different plagues as they befall the Egyptian Empire and the things that essentially God makes a mockery of their gods. God shows himself far superior to their gods, who they worship, who are no gods at all. God makes a mockery of what they believe, in a sense of their pantheon of gods. And we see that through these plagues, the Egyptians, they are heavy laden, and they come before Pharaoh and ask Pharaoh to help them. Pharaoh finally realizes the only way to truly help them is maybe to do what he's asked to do according to Moses and Aaron. But he, once again, the Bible says, he hardens his heart. So God delivers a final plague. We know, many of us have read the story of Passover, how that Moses tells the children of Israel, you've got to take a lamb and you've got to sacrifice it. You've got to take that blood and put it in a bowl, and then you've got to take hyssop and dip it in that blood, and you've got to paint the lintel and the doorpost of the house and go into the house. Come out. Till the angel has passed over, because the angel of death is coming to take all the firstborn. Many of us, if we read the story, realize that it does not exclude the house of Pharaoh, for Pharaoh's firstborn is dead. He dies, and so Pharaoh says, "Okay, go." Thus begins the story of the Exodus of Egypt. Before they come out of Egypt, before they go on that fateful journey into the wilderness, God has some directives for them to follow concerning Passover. God tells Moses and Aaron, this is what you're to tell the people to do. First of all, the first thing that needs to happen is you all have to reset your calendars. This is the beginning of a new year for you. This month is the first month of the new year. You're no longer going to mark time based upon the Egyptian calendar. I am going to completely remove you from their ways. And one of the first things I want you to do is reset your calendar. See, in order to be ready for what's next, you and I have to understand we must disengage from the past. I can't go back and do anything over in 2017. 2017 in just a few hours will be over. I can't go back. I can't go back and mask over those mistakes. I can't go back and do anything different. 2017 is done. It's over. So then what do I do? I must do, as Paul told the church at Philippi, I must forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto the things which are before you. I have to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His mercies are new each morning, the Bible says. So don't forfeit tomorrow by fretting over yesterday. I can't go back and change anything that happened. I can't go back and do anything different in 2007. But what I can do is be ready for what's next in 2018. I can make a determination in my heart and in my mind. I got an opportunity to reset. I can make some resolutions. I can change the way I think. I can do things different. I can be ready for what's next. You see, we can't be ready for what's next as long as we revel in what might have been. Well, if I'd have done this different, or I'd have approached this different, I'd have made a different decision here, I wouldn't have done that, or I would have done this. Listen, I
I can't be ready for what God has for me if I'm all the time reaching back and reveling to what might have been. Or I say it all the time, and it bears repeating. So many people let their past beat up on their present, and it forfeits their future. And you need to be ready for what's next. You need to look back and understand there's nothing I can do about that. But there is something coming over the horizon. There's a tomorrow that I can do different in. And so I'll forget the things which are behind, and I'll reach forward to the things which are before. I'm going to be ready. God told Moses and Aaron, you got to reset the calendars. And then he said this. Tell them, when they take this lamb, a lamb for an house, that are roasted, they're to eat with their loins girded. This is significant because in those times, men and women both wore long robes all the way normally to about the tops of the feet. And so men would often gird up the loin, or they would take the robe and they would pull it up and they would tuck it in the waistline and the belt. And they did this in anticipation of action, working or running, something that took activity. When they were going to participate in activity, it was something that they did. When they were lounging or just loafing or just casually going about, it wasn't a necessity to gird up the loins. But when they were going to do something that was strenuous or caused or made them have some kind of action, they would take that robe and they would pull it up and they would tuck it in the waistline, and it would give them more freedom and flexibility to move. Moses said, you got to eat with your loins girded. Now, this is interesting because eating during that time was often done in a lounging position. They didn't eat on a chair in front of a table like we commonly do, but many times they would lay almost at an angle beside, and the food wasn't prepared on a table. A lot of times it was on a mat on the floor, and so they would all lay on the floor kind of in a lounging position as they would partake of the meal that was set before them. Often it wasn't done on a table in the sense of a high table that you would put chairs under. Sometimes it was just a small table that was just inches off the ground, and there they would lounge beside it and they would eat. Moses says you're to do something different. Here, you're to eat with your loins girded. Now, I'll show you a little bit later, but essentially, I don't want you sitting down. You don't need to be loafing. You need to be ready. Eat with your loins girded. It would have been okay if the loins were not girded and you were lounging, but to have your loins girded and then try to sit in that lounging, it was odd. It was different. So he said, you've got to gird your loins. I see the parallel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. We are encouraged in the New Testament, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Gird up the loins of your mind. Someone said it this way, you got to put a belt around your brain. I've said it numerous times. Some people become so open-minded, the brains fall out. We are living in a society that is wanting us to be tolerant of all things. It's amazing to me. We live in a society that is becoming, they're hypersexual. And then they wonder why men with power and control, and I'm not making excuses for them, and the things that have been brought out lately in the media, they're gross and they're disturbing, but we wonder why. We create an environment, and then people without control, without restraint of the Holy Ghost, without any adherence to the Word of God, without girding up the loins of their mind, they are going about and doing these things, and we shake our head and wonder why. Folks, if we're going to be ready for what's next, if we're going to be able to stand in the midst of persecution, I don't know what 2018 is going to hold for us, not only individually in our belief, but collectively as a body of believers in what we teach and what we believe. And yes, we are, as society would say, they would look at us and say we are a cult, that we have so many standards and so many things that we require for people to live by, and they would try to pigeonhole us. as to being someone and people that are detrimental to society, not an asset, not something that is conducive and good. We know the opposite is true, but listen, what we need to understand if we're going to be ready for what's next, we got to gird up the loins of our mind. We got to be ready. We got to be instant, in season, out of season. We got to be ready to give an answer. Got to be ready mentally for what is next. Things have to change in my mind before I'm ready. A lounging, lackadaisical attitude will have us living out 2018 the same way we lived out 2017. Hello. Let me get a little, let me put the pastor hat on for a little bit. Not too many weeks ago, Brother Davis talked about things that are disappointing. Being a pastor, one of the things that is disappointing is to try to lead people to do things different and realize their mentality is not changing. They're just thinking the same way they've always thought. And I know that as long as that thinking continues, they'll continue to do what they've always done. They'll stay in the cycle that they're in. They won't have a breakthrough. They won't ascend to the next level in things of God. They won't grow. They won't become more spiritually mature. Amen or oh me, it's so. So if you're going to be ready for what's next, if you really want 2018 to be a great year, gird up the loins of your mind. Change the way you think about some things. Change your mentality. It's got to change up here before it ever changes out here. It's got to change in the way I think about it. It's got to change in the way that I approach it. It's got to change in my mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Change your thinking. Why? Because I'm anticipating and I'm getting ready for what's next. I want to be ready for whatever God has for me. Whenever the door is open, I want to be able to walk through it. I want to be ready. I'm going to gird up the loins of my mind. I'm going to think differently. 2018. Then he says this, keep your shoes on your feet. This was not custom. Custom in that day was for one to take their shoes off before entering a dwelling. Moses, you're telling us keep our shoes on? Our shoes on. Feet inside a lot of times. We take our shoes off before we cross the threshold. It's custom. And you're telling us to keep the shoes on our feet? Why? I want you to be ready for what's next. I'm not going to take the time for you to stop and tie your shoes. I got 3 kids. Y'all know where I'm going. Something that happens often as we pull into the garage at our house. And I know in just a few minutes we got to go somewhere else. I say, hey kids, don't take your shoes off. Why? Because I don't want to take the time to help you tie them before we leave. Keep your shoes on. Why? Because we got to be ready. We're about to go somewhere else. The understanding is, hey, keep your shoes on. You got to be ready. And then I begin to look at the parallel, Ephesians 6, 14 and 15. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The one translation said you got to have your feet ready with the gospel of peace. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I need to understand whenever I, wherever I go in 2018, the gospel needs to go with me. The gospel of peace. My feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Moses, this is different. You want us to gird up our loins and keep the shoes on our feet. And then if that isn't enough, he says, keep your staff in your hand. Pulling apart that lamb is much easier if I can do it with 2 hands. I can't lounge by the table with my loins girt about and my shoes on and a staff in my hand. That would be awkward. Get the mental picture. Moses said, I don't want you lounging. I don't want you all lackadaisical. Well, you know, if it happens, it happens. Well, whatever's going to be is going to be. I'm just thankful that I'm here. Moses said, listen, keep your staff in your hand. Keep your staff. Not only do you have your loins girt about with truth, gird up the loins of your mind, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you're ready for what's next, but keep your staff in your hand. Moses, it's easier to eat with two hands. I know, but keep your staff in your hand. Don't put your staff down. Don't set it by the door. Don't put it over here, because when the time, you got to be ready for what's next. As soon as it happens, you got to be ready to abandon all and just go. We ain't going to have time for you to gird up your loins. We ain't going to have time for you to tie your sandals. We ain't going to have time for you to find your staff. Keep it in your hand. You got to be ready for what's next. So I began to look at that staff. The staff, as we look throughout the Old Testament, it represented power and authority. It was Moses who stretched the rod out over the sea. God parted the waters of the Red Sea. We look also, we find it was Aaron's rod that budded, representative of the miraculous. He represented power and authority. Elisha sent Gehazi with his staff to lay upon the child. We understand all these. Judah, the Bible says, he left his staff as a pledge. It was a walking stick. It was a somewhat of a support. The Bible says that Jacob, when he blessed the sons of Moses, Joseph rather, worshiped leaning upon a staff. It represented his power and his authority. Moses said, boys, gird up the loins. Eat with your shoes on and keep your staff in your hand. Don't lose your power and your authority. Don't lose what signifies many times those walking sticks, those staffs. They were often engraved with something that signified maybe it was a family crest, or maybe it was something that signified who they were. We know that for certain because the pledge of Judah, she comes back and says, this is your staff. And he recognized immediately it was his staff. Moses said, your staff in your hand. Folks, to be ready for 2018, what comes next? Not only do we have to gird up the loins of our mind, not only do we have to realize the gospel goes where I go, we cannot forsake the power and the authority of who we are, what we teach, and what we believe. I will not compromise to try to make 2018 different than 2017. I will keep the staff. I'm ready for what's next. And I will retain the power and the authority. I will retain my identity as to who I am. For you are a chosen priesthood. You are a holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Not only gird up the loins, not only do I keep my sandals on, not only do I keep the staff in my hand. Moses said, eat in haste. Well, I picked the choicest part, and I like this piece here. No. Eat it in haste. You mean just like eat it like you're at a buffet? Yeah. Eat it in haste. Eat it in a hurry. Realize it could happen at any moment. Blessed is that servant when the Son of Man cometh, shall so find doing. I need to understand. I have to work while it is yet day. For the night cometh when no man can work. I hope that we understand 2018. I know it's cliche, but it's putting us closer to the end. It's putting us closer to when He splits the eastern sky. We're now today is the day of salvation. Now are we closer than when it first appeared? We need to understand the urgency of the hour. Eat in haste. Ready for what's next. looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. That's why I'll stand here. Everybody else, you can lounge if you want to. You can just let the rope flow and sit down and think it's all going to be. But no, me, I'm going to follow the directive. I'm going to understand I need to be ready for what's next. I recognize many times, and I've said it in many sermons, and I'm sure some of you have as well. A lot of times we talk about being ready more often than not in terms of the eternal. I hope that we have made our calling and election sure. I hope that we understand God is for us, and He wants us to make heaven our home. But I think sometimes we, in anticipation of the afterlife, we forget. I don't want to say we forget, but we neglect to really concentrate on what comes next. What I'm saying is that not so much about eternity and the hereafter, certainly that's a concern, but what comes next for me in my life? What comes next for me and my family? The Lord tarries and I don't soon ascend to the rapture. What's next for me? What door will God open in my life? What opportunity will present itself? Am I ready for what's next? And please understand, I'm not diminishing eternity. I'm not. But I think sometimes we look so far ahead. We don't look to tomorrow and the next day. What's 2018 going to be for me? What's this next year? Am I ready for what's next? Am I doing what I need to do? Have I girded up the loins? Have I really been thinking about what's next for 2018? I'm not talking about stuff in a physical sense. That's all well and good. Smiling because I'm going to tell something on my wife. I think it was this morning. She looked at me and said, "Are you thinking about eating and doing things more healthy next year?" The smirk on my face now was similar to the smirk on my face then. I said, "Oh, yeah." Certainly, as we look ahead to the new year, oh man, the capitalistic market, they seize the opportunity. Weight loss and the gym and the diet, healthy eating, healthy living, man, you'll see so much. You've probably already seen all that, hearing all that. They're capitalizing. You know, carpe diem, seize the day. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible crown. What's next for me in my walking relationship with God? What door is God going to open for me and my family? Am I going to be ready for what's next? I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Certainly, we talk about being ready for the rapture, being ready for eternity. What about being ready for tomorrow? What about being ready for next week? What about being ready when that new time in life happens? Am I ready for what's next? Can I look at the biblical example I have of the children of Israel, where Moses tells them to do something rather peculiar? Hey guys, eat with your loins girded. Shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, and eat in a hurry. I've made the statement before. I don't hesitate to make the statement again. We talk about the end time. We talk about the work that's going to take place. And I'm not being prophetic, but I believe it's going to be a quick work. It all starts to happen. It all starts to culminate. It's going to see it. Even before all that, am I ready? The Bible says he's returning for a bride who hath made herself ready. Am I ready for what's next? If it is the Lord's coming, am I ready for it? Have I made my calling and election sure? Have I obeyed the word of God? But if he tarries, 2018 rolls into 2019. 2019 rolls into 2020. Am I ready for what's next? Am I ready? Guess what? The world, the enemy of your soul, they'd rather you not be. Rather you be caught off guard. They'd rather you and I just be lounging and going through life. You know, Moses, maybe you had something there. Moses, maybe your direct is from God for a reason. You see, things were going to change for them completely. Generation after generation, the only thing they knew was slavery. The only thing they knew to do what was ever told to them by the Egyptians. You do this, you do that, you go here. God says, Moses, things are changing. New beginning. Reset the calendar. Make sure they're ready. Boys, gird up your loins. Keep your shoes on your feet. Keep the staff in your hand and eat in haste. Be ready for what's next. What's going to happen, Moses? I don't know. I'm not sure. God hasn't shown me everything that's going to happen. I just want to make sure you're ready. See, a lot of what I do, a lot of what ministry does, is simply trying to get you and I ready. Not just for the rapture, not just for the end time, but ready for what's coming. Are you ready? Are you prayed up? Are you doing those things you know you need to do? Are you ready for what's next? These altars are open if you'd like to come and pray. Lord, help me to be ready. Not just in the eternal sense, but Lord, ready for what you have for me, for my family, for my loved ones. Ready for an encounter or work. Or someone needs to be ministered to. Ready? So I'm walking throughout the community, interacting with others. Am I ready? Am I instant in season, out of season? I've done those things, Lord. Am I just kind of lounging and going through the motions? Or am I ready?
I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you. My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward.
Are you ready for what's next? Pastor, sure would be nice if you tell me what's coming down the pipe. I don't know.
What
I just want you to be ready.
You have brought me to such a freedom.
Could 2018 be my year? Could 2018 be our year? I don't know.
Who makes all
but I want to be ready.
Yeah.
God opens the door. I don't want to take the time to try to get prepared. I want to be prepared and ready to walk through.
Ahead, here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. With all power in your hand, you have given me a second chance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, things are made new.
are in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you. My past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward.
Little did they know that they ate the lamb with loins girded, shoes on their feet, staff in their hand. They ate in a hurry. Little did they know that pretty soon the angel would pass over and then they would be released. They would go into a wilderness and there they would see a Red Sea that was parted. Would see water from a rock. It would see manna fall from heaven. So much more than stomping mud bricks, helping the Egyptians build their empire. Now, God is making of them a great nation. See thunders, hear thunders and lightnings. As God speaks to them from a mountain, gives the law to Moses, ready for what's next. I don't know what's around the corner for you. I don't know what's around the corner for me. I don't know what 2018 is going to hold, but I want to be ready. I want to be ready. We all lift our hands, lift our voice collectively. Help us, God, as a body of believers, to be ready for what's next. We don't know what life's going to bring, God. Let us be ready for what's next. With anticipation. It's almost an attitude that says, Lord, I'm excited about the opportunities. Lord, I'm looking forward with anticipation. I can't wait to get out of this bondage. I can't wait to see the sights and the wonders that you have prepared for me. For eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man those things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Be ready for what's next. Lord, I'm ready for you to astound me. I'm excited about the opportunities that await me. One more time, can you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Lord, we thank you. Let's be ready for what's next. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Happy New Year. Godspeed. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.